Baker, and welcome back to the Kitchen Confidant podcast. Today, we're chatting with internet personality, host, podcaster, and author, Dani Rose. You may know her from her popular YouTube channel, where she shares Southern home cooking with a modern twist from her California kitchen. She brings this and her entertaining expertise to a new original series from Pinterest and Tastemade called Deliciously Entertaining. Each episode brings together food lovers and creatives to cook, create, and gather, whether it's a dinner party or a bubbly brunch. And Dani is there to show us how to find inspiration to do it ourselves at home. Welcome to the podcast, Dani.
Well, thank you for having me. Okay, I'm a fan of this podcast. I was able to check it out and listen to some episodes, and I like what you got going on over here, girlfriend.
Oh, that means so much. Well, thank you. Yeah. I really appreciate that. It's so cool to know that you were listening. I really do appreciate that. I usually start by asking, what's the first thing that you ever cooked and about how old were you?
Okay, so the first thing I ever cooked, well, growing up in Alabama, I come from an old school family. And so my mom and dad used to leave us at home all the time by ourselves. And during the summertime, they had to go to work, of course. And so my brothers and I would be at home. And so I was about 10 years old. And the first thing that, because we didn't grow up in a fancy neighborhood, you know, we are from a neighborhood that you just got to get it how you got to get it. So supplies were very limited in my house. And we had a can of potted meat. I never forget this. And some celery and rice. And that was the first thing that I actually ever cooked. And my mom would tell us not to turn on the stove when she was gone, but I turned on the stove. And I was like, I'm tired of eating all this cereal and this whatever. I'm about to make something good. So I literally turned on the stove at 10 years old and I made, I got a can of potted meat, boiled some rice, which was gummy. And we had some vegetables in there, celery, all type of stuff, chopped that up, put it in a pan, made it, and it was actually delicious, and it tasted like corned beef to us.
Oh, that sounds so good. You know what's so funny? When you mentioned potted meat, I had not heard that term until maybe 2 years ago. Someone else was telling me about that, and I was like, do you mean like Spam or I guess corned beef? And I had never like heard that term before, but I guess it is a very Southern term.
It is, and it's actually really, well, we thought it was real good.
It is good. I grew up on that too.
Yeah, it was good. So I made potted meat and rice. And then I eventually moved on when I was about 12 to cube steak and rice and corn. And that was my meal I made for everybody. But my first meal was that.
Oh, yum. You know what? I grew up on Spam fried rice. So that sounds really good to me.
I love that. I love it. Love it. Had it in Hawaii. It was delicious.
Yeah. Okay. Could you tell everyone a bit more about yourself? And have you always aspired to a career in food?
Honey, no. I never saw this happening for me ever. And it's so funny. My mom, she's living with us in California now to kind of help out. And she and I were talking one day and she reminded me of a time that I told her when I was about 11 years old, I made some turkey sandwiches that had ranch dressing, tomatoes, and lettuce on it. I don't know where I was coming up with all this stuff, but anyway, I was inventive. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I told her one day, I said, I'm going to make sandwiches for a living and I'm going to call it Dani's Deli. And I was about 11 years old, but I was, originally I have a background in vocal performance. So I grew up singing. And so I went to college for vocal performance. I've sang in Carnegie Hall. I've sang all over the world with Morgan State University Choir. And I grew up singing in church. And so that's what I thought my career was going to be in music. I mean, I have performed to the highest of heights and to the gutter of gutter clubs, you know, and I really thought that that's where I was going to land, but God had other plans for me. And so they always say, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I didn't see this coming at all.
Well, that explains where the stage presence comes from. I have to ask, what style of vocals were you doing?
So, you know, I always tell people my dad owned a juke joint and my mom was a Sunday school teacher. So I was in church all the time. So, of course, I was singing gospel, but then the blues was in me because of the juke joint life. So I, you know, divvied into singing blues. So I love singing blues, and blues and gospel kind of go hand in hand. You know what I mean? And so all blues singers, they just people that came from the church and decided to go live a secular life. That's it, you know, and those made the best singers. So like people from the Temptations, you know, and the Five Heartbeats and Muddy Waters and all those type of people that that music we love, Little Richard, they all came, even though he's rock and roll, but they all came from church, you know, and so blues and gospel just kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, it really does. Okay, well, that explains a lot. Okay, so maybe you could tell us a little bit about your journey from posting that very first YouTube video, which I scrolled back and I think I saw that, to your new show on Taste Made Deliciously Entertaining.
Well, you know, it's been a very long journey. I got on YouTube in 2017, but I've been making food content since MySpace days. And so I was doing food content, posting pictures before, even before I got on YouTube, I was doing things on Facebook for years. And one of my girlfriends told me to get on YouTube. She was like, you're not monetizing. You're not doing, you're putting all this free content out. And so I've been a creator for almost 14 years now. So YouTube came along with a friend that kind of was like, you're putting great things out. But I started on Facebook and I would cook on Facebook Live every Sunday night from what I would call my juke joint, which is my kitchen, and on Sunday nights. And so it went from like 90 people watching until like 100,000 people watching every Sunday for 2 years. At 8 o'clock, I would cook live. And so then I got into doing food videos because people will want to know, like, we need another video, you know, we need another recipe video. And so at that time, you know, as you know, food content creating wasn't the biggest thing. And you made no money. You know, and so you're really doing it out of the kindness of your heart. And so I got into doing it because, number one, I didn't see food that represented our culture the way that it was supposed to, and specifically Southern culture. But, you know, I just like all type of good food. And my goal was to get people to get back into the kitchen and take the intimidation out of cooking. So I wanted people to have like restaurant quality food at home, but also on a budget, because I'm a single mom and I didn't have a lot of money when I started doing these things. I was actually making food videos with food stamps. And so that's a part of my journey that people don't know. And it's been a struggle for many years. I got into when there was no money. And when I got on YouTube, I was not making money in the beginning. But then I started to go viral on Facebook. And so I remember one day I was about to give up making food content because it wasn't making any sense. And then I started to do side jobs, catering and things like that. But I stayed in and I went viral, and I just kept going viral. I mean, I was going viral back to back to back. I couldn't count the times. And that's when I transitioned to YouTube from the help of my girlfriend. I didn't even know how to set it up, child. And she came over and she helped me set it up. Her name is NECA. And I owe her to this day for being a blessing in my life. And YouTube is kind of what got me recognized with Food Network and everybody else. And I put my own money into production. I filmed my own self for many, many years. I pay for my own production. People think that I partner with production companies. No, that's out of my pocket. And I just invested in my brand. And I think investing in my brand and betting on myself is what got me to where I am now and being able to do this amazing show with Taste Made and Pinterest, Deliciously Entertaining. And it came right on time because I was actually about to retire from food and get into my other lifestyle things that I wanted to do. Yeah, I've been in it so long. Oh. And so it was like a marriage. And I was just like,
oh. You've done everything that you can.
Yeah, we got a chance to sex life up in this marriage. I don't know what's going on over here. You know what I mean? We just, what's happening? And so I have other passions in like fashion and design and, you know, entertaining and things like that. And so I remember getting the call to have the meeting with Taste Made. And I was like, okay, here we go. All right. You know, because I've done television. It's great. But my mind was just somewhere else. And so I prayed about it. And everybody at Taste Made and Pinterest was so amazing, so kind. And when they told me the premise of the show, I was like, this is aligned with actually where I'm trying to take my brand. I want to go into more to this lifestyle space. I want to teach people about designing, you know, their homes. I want to teach them about interior. I want to teach them about, you know, decorating the table and doing DIYs and things like that. So that's where I've shifted my brand. And I actually created another Instagram, All Things Dani Rose, at the time, before I even, you know, knew about this show becoming, I was shifting into that. So it kind of just aligned the way that it was supposed to. But honey, I had retired. I had made a retirement video. And the only thing that was keeping me doing that was I had a cookbook, you know, and things like that coming out. But this show came right at the cusp of that. And I was just so excited because it really aligned with who I truly am, the core of me and who I am and what I want to do.
Well, I totally identify with the 14 years and wanting to shift. I mean, I'm at that point at the 14-year mark, and I get it. Like, you've been doing it so long, you need to explore the other avenues, and I think everything happens for a reason. So clearly, when Pinterest and Taste Made reached out to you, it definitely, like, the stars do align and things happen for a reason. So anyway, I love how creative you are in the kitchen, and that in each episode of the show, you invite friends who are equally artistic and inspiring in their own way. So how is it having company in the kitchen?
You know, I grew up in a family that, number one, I don't cook around the holidays because my family think they know it all. So I'm the one that does it professionally, and they don't do it professionally at all, but they think they know it all. And so I come from a family that is that has a lot of people in the kitchen preparing things. And so, you know, that is a part of me that I actually enjoy. Even when I'm entertaining at home, my friends come over and they are like, what can I do to help? So to have special guests on that are equally as artistic, and, you know, they have their own thoughts, and they also help me, you know, because I'm like, we're doing this together. So what do you think we should do? It is really, really a joy and a treat for me to have that help in the kitchen, and also to just bounce ideas off of the guests, because their mind wanders just like mine wanders. And we just come up with some really creative things. And that's really enjoyable. It feels like I'm in the kitchen with my family, because I'm telling you, they take over.
Yeah. And it's just nice to have, you know, someone to just bounce around with. And, you know, it's not totally scripted. You can really just be yourself and just enjoy your time with that person. And it looks like you really are cooking along with them, and they're just having fun with you. And it really, I think it shows your personality, which I think is so much fun. It's just that extra layer that I feel like you don't really get from maybe a YouTube video. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never been like a scripted girl. You know what I mean? Because I come from that world of just being myself. And I believe that being yourself is enough, you know, and I have to always tell people, everybody's not going to like you, and because you don't like everybody, you know, either. So you just, you know, be comfortable in your own skin. And so that was one of the things that drew me to doing the show as well. With working with Pinterest and Tastemade, they knew exactly who they were getting, and they did not try to shrink me down. They wanted that person that they get in front of them, even on social media. And that is a part of me that I truly appreciate.
Yeah. Okay. So we have to talk about the elements of each episode. So number one, it sounds like you have a special guest for, is it every episode? Okay, cool. And then secondly, you got an inspiration ingredient. Like, for example, the first one was the sweet potato, which I love so much. Maybe you could tell everybody how you incorporated it into that day's menu.
Yeah, so it's so personalized. You know, when you have, I always tell people, when you're actually entertaining too, you want to know what your guests like to eat. Like what kind of food they like, what kind of ingredients they love, and like they like to work with in their kitchen. And so the sweet potato came because Aja Jackson, you know, that is something that's near and dear to her culture. And also she's Filipino, so they use, you know, sweet potatoes, and they use ube, you know, which is a purple sweet potato. And so when she mentioned that, you know, my mind wandered, and I feel like I joined the two worlds of Southern culture, because we use a lot of sweet potatoes in our cooking as well. And it just was like, okay, I know what I'm about to make, because we're having a comfort food night. We're cozying up. So we got to cozy up with something sweet. So my sweet potato pie cheesecake immediately came to my mind, because it's a fan favorite, you know, but also it was a connection, because I used to sell these back in the day as well to feed me and my daughter. But also it's just a delicious recipe, and I wanted her to try it. So it was about me bringing my culture in with her culture, and us sharing that ingredient. And grits. She never had grits. And so I'm like, girl, we make sweet potato grits all the time, you know? And so I just added sweet potato grits to that pot roast that we made. And it was just delicious. It was incredible. I wanted to share with her how I would actually approach that and invite her into my world as she invited me into hers.
Yeah. Well, I loved watching it personally, because I share that Filipino heritage with Aja. And so I think that was so cool to hear her talking about ube, and seeing that you could take that and bring it into your cuisine and just make a whole meal out of it. And I love that. I love when food can bring people together. Okay. And then in your episode with Lance Bass, which was so fun. The pecan or pecan is the main star. Okay, I know you guys talked about it. Where are you on the pecan pronunciation?
Honey, it's pecan where I'm from.
See, okay, I was explaining that to somebody, and like I was saying, like, where it's grown, it's pecan. So I'm going to say pecan.
It's pecan where I'm from, you know, in Alabama. I'm from the deep south. And so we say pecan. We say pecan pie, pecan this, pecan that. Nobody really ever says pecan where I'm from, but everybody has their way of doing it. Either way, it's all going to get ate. ends delicious. You know what I mean? Whether
mm-hmm. you see pecan. It's all going in the same place.
Yeah, we don't eat it.
So, yeah, I agree. And entertaining can be difficult and demanding. What are your ways to stay sane when you have guests in your house?
You know, one of my things I always tell people, invite people that you like. That's going to, number one, going to keep your sanity. You know what I mean? Invite people that you actually connect with, you know, to your home. Your home is your sacred space. So invite people that you actually want to bring, you know, good spirit to your home that you connect with. That's number one. So you don't have to be stressed out about people coming that you don't really connect with. That's number one. And two, ask for help. This is what this show is also about, inviting people into your home that want to be there and they actually want to help. You'd be surprised at how many people really want to help you. And I think we get so caught up in like the people pleasing part of ourselves that we're like, we just want to do it all. We want people to come and relax. But also, you are a part of this event as well. It's for you too. It's not just for everybody else. So ask for help. Get everybody involved to help you if you want to. I always say the easiest thing to do is to not try anything new. You know,
I'm so guilty of that.
You know, everybody always want to get excited. Like, I have this new recipe that has 50 million steps, and I'm going to try it on the day because I want to impress everybody. Keep it simple. Keep your menu simple. Keep your decor simple. And always ask for help. When people get there, have things for them to do, because they're going to say 9 times out of 10, what can I do to help? You need anything? And you'll say, yes, I have this serving tray right here with some washed vegetables. Can you chop those up for me so that we can have those with our little dip that I already made? Or if it's a dip that you want for an appetizer, which I always tell people, keep a dip as an appetizer. It's the easiest thing. It's a dump and stir, right? Have them have all the ingredients set out to the side and have them do that, you know, for you. And if there's decor, keep it simple so that people can help. They want to help. Let them help.
Yeah, I think people go to events and people's houses and they just want to keep their hands busy as well. Because it is kind of awkward when you're just watching someone cooking for you and we're supposed to be friends. Like, all of a sudden I'm serving you.
Yeah.
But I like that you take that out of – it's not just food, and it can be something that you're making for the party. So, for example, you use Pinterest a lot in your party planning. Mm-hmm. And then you involve your guests in creating something. Like, for example, with Asia, you painted mugs together, which was so cute and it was perfect. It fit in with the theme. So how do you go about finding your inspiration from Pinterest?
Well, you know, I always say Pinterest is such an inspirational place that you can literally go down. I want to call it I know people say rabbit hole, but I call it like an inspirational tunnel. because it's always been my go-to, even before this show, it's always been my go-to to go to for anything that I need, whether it be cocktail recipes, whether it be decor ideas, if I want to renovate my bathroom, whatever it is, you know, I've always gone to Pinterest, and Pinterest has always delivered. And so what I love about that platform is that it also brings you into places and shows you things. Like, if you like one pin and you like one post and you're pinning it to your board or whatever for inspo, Pinterest will also feed you other things that you didn't even think about. You know, you're like, oh, that's a clever idea. You know, like, let me put that on my board as well. That's something I can do now or maybe return to. So it just gives you this, number one, the platform allows you to approach anything that you're trying to do, entertaining, DIY, cooking, makeup, hair, inspo. It allows you to approach it easy, you know, and so it takes the fuss out of it, because everybody on Pinterest is there to give something to you. You know what I mean? They're posting, they're giving you their recipes, they're giving you their hairstyles, they're giving you things, you know, and they want you to engage in it. They're like, hey, I have this easy thing for you to do. Take this. And you pin it to your board and you just find yourself being so inspired to do it, because it makes the platform makes things easy. And I think that when people feel like they can do it and it's approachable, then they will do more of the things that they want to do.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of actually that phenomenon that you see. I'm sure you've seen it as a content creator. I find that some of the ugliest photos that I've posted on my site get more traction on Pinterest, probably because it looks approachable and doable.
Yes. That's what purchase is about. And so that's why it's inspirational. It's inspiring. Say, hey, y'all, we all in this together. Come on over here. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I've always used the platform and I will always continue to use it for those reasons alone.
Yeah. So on the show specifically, are you taking, I guess, pins that you've seen and actually doing the project, or is it just an inspiration, a mood board for creating your own DIYs?
Well, it's two things. We're taking both of those things that you just said and putting them together, you know, so mm-hmm. there's a lot of inspiration and there is a board connected to the show. There is a QR code that you would see, you know, while you're watching the show, and it'll say, scan here for this recipe, scan here for, you know, Danny's outfit or whatever it is. You know what I mean? You can scan that. It'll take you right to my board where you can see where all the inspiration came from. And some of the things are just inspiration ideas. And some of the things we actually did do it just like you see it on the board.
Oh, very cool. That's nice. I didn't know about the QR code. Okay. I love that you have friends visiting and cooking with you in the kitchen. And obviously, you're teaching them. You have a lot of knowledge. It comes out in all the little tidbits that you share as you're cooking together. But I'm curious, have your guests taught you anything that maybe you didn't know?
Has my guests taught me anything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they have. I learned a lot from Trixie. Trixie the Trixie. I cannot wait for everybody to see that show. I learned a lot from Trixie, from not just food, you know, and things like that, but just, and she also challenged me a little bit because she is vegetarian. And so we just had so many, yeah, it was a great episode. And I also learned about like how they get into drag and, you know, and also I learned a new game called Cornhole. I had never played that before. And we played that on the show. Trixie just, she gave me this, she's from Wisconsin. She gave me this whole backstory about the cheese and she just had so many great, great, great stories. So I will say Trixie number one. And then also too, when we had Maurice Harris, I learned a lot about flowers and plants and, you know, things like that. And so I learned how to bloom a rose. And
oh, is that when you like twist it?
Well, you pull the layers back. You pull the
layers
back. Yeah, and he taught us how to do that and really how to make these amazing, wonderful centerpieces for when you have people coming over or just in general for yourself. So yeah, I had some guests that teach me some things, but Trixie, I learned a lot from her.
Trixie seems like a hoot. Yeah, I think that would be so fun. I can't wait to see that one.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. All the episodes are great, but that's a special one for me.
Okay, I have to touch upon your book. It's Danny's Juke Joint Comfort Food. I know you've mentioned juke joint a few times. Maybe you could just explain to everybody, what is a juke joint?
Okay, so I get this question all the time. And so the best way to describe it is a juke joint. These establishments were created back in the Jim Crow era when Black people could not party with white people in the South. And so we created our own spaces. So people would turn their houses into basically what we will call today a lounge or a nightclub or a bar. And so this is where people would come to, you know, really connect after work or after church. Okay, because honey, let me tell you, we go to church and then we go to the bar. That's what they did. But it was a place of connection for Black people because we could not go into the white establishments, you know, back in those times. And so they had blues and musicians come to sing, and they would have, you know, bars and they have food. Food came later on. But you know, in the beginning, you know, there was no food. It was just a place about connection. So you see juke joints and like The Color Purple and, you know, other type of movies from back in the day, even the movie Life with Eddie Murphy. He's talking about, you know, his vision for having this club. And it's really like a juke joint. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we just had so many. Tyler Perry has incorporated them into his movies with Daddy Little Girl, with Gabrielle Union and Idris Elba. And so they are a huge part of our culture. And a lot of them still exist to this day. And they've kind of been, I don't want to say modernized, but the buildings have gotten a little bit better. But we call them now hole in the walls, you know. So I always tell people, imagine a Black Cheers bar. That's all it is. But we welcome everybody from all walks of life. Even though we were not welcome, we welcome everybody into the juke joints. And you're going to have a real good time.
I love that you touch upon welcoming everybody. And I know that just watching you on the screen, you have that welcoming personality. And I think it's I think it's also just a characteristic of the South. And I'm guessing there are other things that are other aspects of growing up in the South that inspire your cooking and your gatherings. Is there anything in particular that you remember from your mother that you actually, I'm sure you see it every day because now she's with you in California, but what lessons has she imparted on you in your everyday life and in your everyday entertaining?
To take my time. One of the things we used to always talk about my mom for, we'd be like, oh my God, you're so slow. You do a good job, but Lord, you take so long. And one of the things she used to always be like, I'm going to take my time. And every time she would take her time and make the best meals, or she would, you know, put a button on or hem my pants or do whatever, my mom always took her time and everything always came out the way it was supposed to. She never rushed anything. And that was a part of me that, you know, we used to always tease her about it. But as I've gotten older, I have learned to take my time, to do things right, to not rush any processes, to accept where you are and take your time. You'll get there no matter what. You will get there. But, you know, I always tell, and so my mom, she has instilled that in us without her knowing that. Just by mm-hmm. watching her, she has always taken her time and she's always gotten great results by doing that. And so that is something that I truly admire when it comes down to food, entertaining, because my mom was in the juke joint frying fish, even though she was a Sunday school teacher. Okay, the juke joint was open at 2 a.m. and she go and teach Sunday school the next day, you know, but she always did everything with care and she took her time to do it right. She never rushed anything. Even though it takes 30 minutes to get a fish sandwich, it's going to be good, but she going to take her time.
It's worth the wait. I think that's such a valuable lesson for everything that we do in our life. People are always, they're trying to make money fast. They're trying to grow on Instagram fast. They're trying to eat fast. Like, it is a good reminder just to slow down.
And enjoy the process. Yeah. We have not fallen in love with processes. And so I always tell people, you'll get it fast, but just as fast as you get it, you can lose it. If you don't, you know, take your time and taking your time in the process, you learn a lot of things along the way that will keep you where you're trying to go. You can get there, but you want to stay there.
Ah, so good. Okay, Dani, you've come a long way from your YouTube video from, was it over six, no, how many years ago? Yeah. To your show now. I am so excited. What else can we expect in this season?
Oh, I'm so excited to share this. I'm so excited that you asked that question. Thank you for asking. I've been working on multiple projects on my own, but one of the things that I love is to develop products, and it has been just a dream of mine. So I have a new product line that's coming up. I have over 40 products in development right now. And so we have a new spice collection, a juke joint spice collection that is launching in the next week. And then we have like a plethora of other things coming after that. And I'm just really excited about it. It's something I've been working on since 2019. And I never thought it was going to happen because I didn't get a lot of people to help me. And, you know, people would not call me back and all that. And then it took a while to just develop this first collection because I wanted it to be so good for everybody. And I kind of documented that. And I have like a little documentary that we're putting together showing the process of that. And I am releasing my new product line very soon. And it came out of nowhere. I have kind of given up on that dream, thinking it was never going to happen for me. And it has now come to pass. So a new product line, a new juke joint collection line is coming out. And I'm just really excited about that. It's been years in the making and it's finally happened for me.
Wow. See, it happens in its own time. Dani, you're a force. This is so great.
Yep. I tell people, it doesn't matter when it happens. It matters that it happens, you know, and that's the best thing about it. And so I worked so hard on these products. And it's to meet a need. I got in business. I got into what I'm doing to meet a need. And so that has been my thing that I stand on. I'm here to serve. I'm here to serve God's people, and I'm here to meet the needs for people that felt looked over in this space.
Mm. Well, when you give, you receive. So I'm so glad that you're getting the success that you deserve. Okay, before I let you go, I have some closing questions. What's something that you make when you're too tired to cook and you just need an emergency go-to meal?
Salmon.
Oh yeah,
salmon. Salmon with chili crisp.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay. What What do you mean by chili crisp? Like the seasoning or?
No. So the chili crisp that come in a jar. This is what I do. I put rice in a rice cooker when I don't feel like it. I'm putting that rice in a rice cooker. And then I always have salmon. Actually, I'm making it tonight. My daughter and I love it. We have other fish that we like, but I'll do salmon and I'll blacken it. And then I put like a little honey on top and then I finish it with chili crisp. And so I put that over rice. That is our go-to meal when I'm exhausted. It takes less than 20 minutes.
Perfect.
You put the rice on first. Okay. And then you go and you cook your salmon and we've got dinner. And I will throw some broccoli in the microwave real quick or a vegetable while all of it comes together. Yes.
Yeah, yes. That's real life cooking. I love it. What's the one recipe that you treasure the most?
Oh, and you know, this is going to sound crazy, but I have been told that nobody fries fish like me.
Oh, that's so nice.
I know. And fried fish has always been one of my favorite things, a fried fish sandwich. It's delicious when you're sober and it's delicious when you ain't. Okay. So there's a technique to frying fish that people don't understand. It's a technique. It can't be too soft from too much flour. It can't be too crispy for too much cornmeal. And so it has to be seasoned well, and it has to be able to have the right amount of crisp, but also soft and pillowy in the inside. And so, yeah, my fried fish is something, I'm telling you. I know it sounds simple, but it ain't.
Do you have a YouTube video for that, or is that anywhere?
I do. And one of the flavors that's coming out for our spice collection is called fish fry. It's a fish fry flavor. And I'll be showing people, you know, how to turn that potent concentrated spice blend that we have into your own fish fry.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. Yeah. Are you messy or neat in the kitchen?
I'm in the middle. Same. I'm in the middle. I clean as I go. I will say that. I clean as I go. But if I get to listening to, you know, talking to my girlfriends on the phone or, you know, gossiping a little bit with my mama because she likes to do, I know she's not a school teacher, but this is what we do. You know, I'll get distracted and I'm like, oh my God, I got stuff. And I also have a Connie Corso who I have to keep out of my kitchen and he's a 150-pound dog and he's crazy. So sometimes, you know, it's like super neat. I start off so neat and sometimes I end up in a not too crazy, but I'll kind of like get the dishes will kind of get ahead of me, you know, and things like that. But I try to keep it in the middle. But if I'm making that salmon and that rice with chili crisp, ain't no dishes.
What's a good kitchen tip that you can share?
Use your hands. Your hands are the most underutilized tool in the kitchen, and also use kitchen shears when necessary. They are also an underutilized tool in the kitchen. Use it to cut your meats. Use it to cut your onions. Use it to cut your vegetables. Get you a pair of really good kitchen shears and use your hands to make your food.
That's such a good tip. And you're the second person that I talked to today who talked about using your hands. And I love it. In the Philippines, they eat with their hands. So to me, it's a tactile thing too. It tastes better.
Yeah, that's what I love you.
Yeah. So every week I try to share five little things with my audience, something that made me smile during the week. Is there anything that's made you smile this week?
Yeah. Number one, I have to say, I get excited when I know a new show is going to come out because when we did this show, it was just so fun. And I love this episode that's coming out this week with Lance Bass. We had such a good time. I look so cute in this episode. Okay.
You do. I love your outfit.
Thank you. I did an outfit change, you know, so I'm really excited about every time we have a new drop for Deliciously Entertaining. I'm really excited about that. And that made me so grateful. It makes me take a step back and be in a sense of gratefulness. And then also that coupled with knowing that I really am about to release my products is so exciting to me because I worked so hard on both of these projects. So both of them are coming together for me. And I just stand in a sense of gratitude for both of them.
Yeah. Well, you should be very, very proud of yourself because, you know, none of that happens without hard work. So Dani, where can everyone find you and watch Deliciously Entertaining?
They can watch Deliciously Entertaining on Tastemade. If you want to watch it live, you have to follow me on my platforms on Pinterest, Instagram and YouTube at The Danny Rose. And so I'll post all those things there. You can watch it live on Taste Made when it comes on, and I post like the times, but you can also watch the replays on tastemade.com. I think it's about $2.99. Pay them $3 and go watch it, or you can download it on Sling. You can download a Roku TV. There are just different platforms that you can download to watch the show, and that is all available on tastemade.com. So you can watch it there. And a new episode is coming out this week, I think at 7, 6 Central, which is like 4 my time. So you watch that. And then you can follow me on all my platforms, Pinterest, YouTube, TikTok, and also Instagram at The Danny Rose. T-H-E, Danny, D-A-N-N-I-R-O-S-E.
Perfect. Yeah, I actually have a TasteMade subscription. I think it's worth it because there's just so much great content out there.
Yes. Yeah. They have. I know we're talking about my show, but Street Psalm is actually one of my favorite shows over there. I really love.
Yeah,
that
I've
show.
Had him on the show. It's
Great. Yeah, I love the show. And so they have some really good content over there. So I encourage everybody not to just watch my show, but support the TasteMade family.
Yeah. Well, Danny, it was so good to talk to you. I can't wait to watch all the episodes and to keep in touch.
Of course. I'll be back anytime. Such a joy. Yay. To talk to you. Such a joy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. After talking to Danny, I was thinking about her mother's lesson to take your time. I think this is such a good reminder, whether you're cooking, spending time with family and friends, or anything in life. I will remember that and Danny's entertaining tips the next time I host a gathering. Thank you, Danny, for joining us, and thank you, everyone, for listening. If you enjoy the show, please take a moment to rate it and share it with a friend, and join us again next time. Until then, happy cooking.